And we welcome you to another edition of Giants First and 10 here on MSG. I'm Bob Papa. Over the next hour, 10 things you need to know about the Giants and Niners. I've got my Hall of Famer, captain for life, Harry Carson, two-time Super Bowl champion, Carl Banks, and, of course, the guy who sets the protection for us, Roman Oben. Let's take a look at what we have coming up on the show for you this week. We'll hear from Giants head coach Tom Coughlin. Carl Banks goes to the coach's tape for our strategy segment. Cullen Jenkins will visit us in studio to talk about this week's matchup. And we'll look back at the great rivalry between the Giants and the San Francisco 49ers. But to get things started, item number one goes up on the board. We call this our no huddle. We'll put 25 seconds on the clock and hear our experts pontificate about whatever's on their mind. Captain for life, Harry Carson, flashback.
You know, I really want to recuse myself because Carl and I think, are too intimately involved with what's going on as players who've played defense. But quite frankly, you know, I had a flashback that, you know, last Sunday, at 60, I could have gone out and stopped Marshawn Lynch. I could have done it. Carl, you feel the same way?
I have feelings.
We don't know what's going on here, but it takes me way back when things weren't so good for the Giants.
Yeah, the Giants have given up 3,600 yards, which is the most through nine games since 1940. And four consecutive weeks of 400 or more yards that they've given up. Their defense right now is ranked last in the National Football
League. Wow.
25 seconds on the clock for Mr. Banks. Carl, the recipe is simple.
Yeah, the whole is greater than the sum of its parts. And they've got to take a collective effort, a whole team effort of pride and fight and will and determination and all the cliches you can think of. But collectively, they've got to figure out how to get it done.
Yeah, we're going into the cliche trunk now. We're pulling everything out.
Yeah.
All right. Carl kept it under time. Anyway, all right, Roman, 25 seconds on the clock for you. It's time to check some IDs.
Yeah, and I think this team needs to just reestablish their identities. The bleeding started that Philly game, and literally it hadn't stopped yet. But I saw an offense that put up some points in the first half, in the first quarter. I saw a defense that didn't play well on the ground, but I don't think they'd play that poorly again this week. This 49ers team is a little different than last week, but it's still that same blue-collar matchup. But they have to do a better job and reestablish that Giants big blue tradition that these guys can be proud of.
All right, way to kiss up to them. We got a flag there, false start, which is what's happening with the Giants. They get a couple positive plays, and next thing you know, it's a hold, it's a false start. And rather than having momentum, they kind of start retreating.
Yeah, well, it's the self-inflicted stuff. You can't even give yourself an opportunity to build on your successes because of the undisciplined nature of the penalties or the blown assignments, and you just can't get off the field or stay on if you're on the offensive side.
You know, when you're on the football field and bad things happen during the course of a game, you got to shake it. You have to let it go, and you have to move forward, and you have to just go out the next play, give it 110% of your effort. I didn't necessarily see that in the game last week against Seattle. There were some guys who were not giving 100%. In my own eyes, I didn't see that effort that you really need from an aggressive defense. Didn't see it.
Yeah, well, those eyes are Hall of Fame eyes.
And in terms of just bad things happening, I mean, look at the interception last week. The Odell Beckham trying to swat away a ball so Richard Sherman doesn't get it. It gets intercepted. Two balls that defense should have recovered because of the rain in the second half. That made a difference. So it just, when you're
but,
not
but where did that come from, happen? Roman? That came from effort. Seattle hustling and making plays, and that's what the Giants have to do.
All right. We are just getting started here on the program. Let's take a look at Giants programming that comes your way both on MSG and on My9 each and every week. Of course, Giants First and 10 debuts every Friday night at 5 p.m. on MSG+. Saturday, Giants Access Blue kicks off at 11 p.m. on My9. Sunday morning, join us for Giants Chronicles on MSG at 10 a.m. We'll look at the decade of the 2000s. Then Giants postgame live after the Giants and Niners on My9. Tuesday night, it's Giants Rewind at 6 p.m. on MSG+. We'll look back at the Giants and Niners. And then next Wednesday, it's Giants Press Conference live at 11 a.m. on MSG as we get you set for the Giants and Cowboys. We continue to roll along here on Giants First and 10. When we come back, the head coach of the New York Giants, Tom Coughlin, joins us after this timeout. Welcome back to Giants First and 10 here on MSG. On Sunday, it's the Giants and Niners at MetLife Stadium. Item number two goes up on the board. The head coach of the Giants, Tom Coughlin, joins us each and every week here on the show. And, Coach, obviously another challenge this week with San Francisco coming in and a quarterback who brings multiple weapons to the dance.
He sure does. He can run the ball. He's got a very strong arm. He's tall. He's fast, you know, and he throws the ball to the outside very, very well. They use a lot of bootlegs. They really haven't featured the option more than two or three times a game to this point in the season. I would expect it to be utilized more.
Coach, let's kind of go in reverse order and talk a little bit more about the challenges that the 49ers present to both sides of the football for the Giants.
Well, their offensive team obviously is built around the run, and they do a very, very good job of that. And they are very selective in how they approach each game. In other words, you'll see what looks like a totally different game plan sometimes from week to week. If you notice the New Orleans game, most recent game, ball was run to the left a lot. They run what we call power, where the lead back or the lead tight end will kick out, they'll double down, they'll pull the backside guard, and then what we call GB back to the weak side as well. And then they'll add a tight end to that side to block the defensive end and still pull the two backsiders and look to roar the ball up inside. In addition to all this play action, also features the quarterback running naked back to the other side, whether he has a receiver or a tight end or not. It could very well be that he's just keeping it solo as he did one play last week.
And, Coach, the quarterback has a great security blanket and a veteran wide receiver like Anquan Boldin, who he targets quite often. But there's a lot of other weapons, like Crabtree with that 60-yard catch late in the game last week on a 4th and 10.
And a super offensive line, a big, strong offensive line that's worked together very, very well, that has been established with the run in mind, which offensive linemen like that. You know, they don't have to. Now, they have given up 31 sacks. They've given up a lot of sacks, whether it be off because they spend so much time run blocking, but they're very, very good at it, and they have lots of weapons, as you mentioned.
Now, given all of those attributes of the 49ers, assignment football has to be paramount.
Sure, absolutely. Assignment football comes anytime. I don't care what stage of the game you're in, it is assignment football. But when it gets to an option, and they don't run a lot of it, and that's why it's so effective when they do run it, when it becomes time for that, it is absolutely dive, it is absolutely quarterback, it is absolutely contain, it is absolutely, and sometimes the pitch man's added too.
Coach, obviously one of the things that you've talked about all year is balance, what you need out of your offensive game plan. Mm-hmm. Talk about some of the things that you're going to try to get accomplished against their defense as far as your run game.
Well, they're number two in the league on defense. They're very, very good. They have a lot of quality football players. They've had some injuries in and out. The two linebackers are both going to be out. They're all pro linebackers. However, the two young men that are playing in there now are outstanding football players as well, and they're very aggressive. So running the ball. But when you talk about balance, that's what we would hope to be able to do. Last week, we had a few good runs in the first half in particular. Not enough, obviously. But you'd like to have it back and forth with the balance that you need. However, their first and second down fronts are basically a 3-4 or sometimes an under, that type of thing, with base pressures. Not a tremendous amount. They play their schemes very, very well. They're very technically sound. Third down, you're liable to get anything.
All right, Coach, we wish you best of luck on Sunday.
Thanks,
that's
Coach.
New York Giants head coach Tom Coughlin. So he gave you a little breakdown of what you have to look for when you watch the Giants and 49ers. Time to put item number three up on the board as Carl Banks goes to the coach's tape with strategy.
Looking at the 49ers running game, it's always important to keep great leverage angles in the run game. Now, here you'll see they'll get their wide receivers involved, but the key is the second level defenders here. You've got to make sure that everyone maintains good leverage angles on the football. Here's an outside run, and all they want to do is outflank you, outfreeze it. You've got two offensive players to one defender. The defender now has to get up the field to force everything back into these guys pursuing. If he takes a bad angle, which he does, he goes inside. Now they're outflanked. Now look, the runner has a clear path, and there's no one to stop him. Use your help. That means playing great leverage angles. In the passing game, it's very important to get a good containment rush anytime you can on Colin Kaepernick. He's very versatile and a very good thrower on the run. So you've got guys that've got to get up the field and contain him. But when your coverage breaks down, let's take a look. Slow it down. He steps up in the pocket. He escapes, and he goes back out again. The key here is down the field. You'll often hear the word plaster. That means defenders have to find receivers. All over the field, you have to plaster to a receiver. Now, he comes all the way back across the field to a wide open wide receiver. So defensive backs cannot become spectators when Colin Kaepernick scrambles.
Strategy with Carl Banks brought to you by PSE&G. PSE&G, we make things work for you. If you're coming to the game on Sunday, it's the Giants' annual food drive presented by Stop and Shop. Bring canned items or non-perishable items. They'll be collected at the gates as you arrive, and it all goes to the benefit of Community Food Bank of New Jersey. We're going to take a timeout. When we come back here on the program, we sent Paul Dottino into the Giants' locker room as the Giants' game plan for the 49ers. All that, much, much more as we continue with Giants First and 10 after this. Welcome back to Giants First and 10 here on MSG. Getting you set for the Giants and Niners on Sunday at MetLife Stadium. Every week we send Paul Dottino into the Giants locker room to unearth some key facts and figures. And Paul joins us here on the program. Paul, item number 4 goes up on the board. We talk about this San Francisco offense and the pressure it puts on the defense.
Yeah, very diverse, in fact, Bob. You know, you talk about it starts with Gore. He's in the top 10 in the NFL in rushing, about 550 yards. Kaepernick, who throws it pretty well, has also run for 300 yards as a quarterback, second among NFL quarterbacks in rushing. But, you know, the bottom line is for the Giants D, they cannot have a repeat of what happened in Seattle last week.
In this league, you know, if you show a mistake, other people are going to try to take advantage of that same one. So we're spending time this week making sure that those, you know, those problems, those mistakes are corrected so that we can go out there and play ball.
We just got to go in here, and it's not so much of what they can do, but worry about what we can do as a defense, fixing our stuff, and making sure we're good as a whole. Because I think when everything's rolling, all cylinders are firing, we're one of the most talented defenses in this league. It's just about, you know, playing against ourselves and fixing our things and, you know, not playing against ourselves and playing more so against the opponent.
Well, we've heard from two of the Giants' defensive ends, and obviously they had a tough time controlling the edge against Seattle. Carl, on first and 10, the Niners are running a double tight end set 60% of the time. You got to know they're coming with the running game.
Well, yeah, it's going to be heavy run and some play action. But again, Paul, what it really comes down to is assignment football. If they play assignment football and play their keys, nothing should take them by surprise. They have a great athlete at the quarterback position, very good runner. But if you play assignment football, you limit the gains on your defense.
Yeah, and if you compare it to last week, you know, with Frank Gore, you're not going to have the human highlight reel run over 8 defenders like Marshawn Lynch. But from his 15th to his 20th carry, he always has that one run that just gashes the defense. So. Yeah. You've got to have lane integrity, like you said, Carl, and you just have to tackle him. You have to tackle these ball carriers.
Yeah, and you can't forget, too, about Hyde, too, who's a very good runner,
yeah, sure,
who spells
sure.
A guy like Frank Gore. All right, time to put item number 5 up on the board. How do the Giants protect their quarterback in Eli Manning, Paul?
Well, you know, it's funny, Bob, because the Niners don't have a whole ton of sacks. In fact, only about 15 on the season. But they're getting healthier. It's a banged-up defense that's only allowing a little over 300 yards a game, which is second in the NFL. The Giants say that that's a challenge.
Well, they got good players. They got, you know, a good front 7. They got a couple, you know, guys have been out, some of the linebackers, but getting Alden Smith back, it sounds like. Getting Glenn Dorsey back, maybe, it sounds like. So, you know, they do a good job getting pressure on the quarterback, got a good scheme, and do a good job making plays.
You know, we got to stick together up front, and it's everyone doing their job, working hard, and I think we're going to, you know, obviously establishing the run game, like I was just saying, is going to be huge for us and keeping them on their toes.
Now, it's interesting. One of the weak parts of the San Francisco D is that they're allowing 45% conversions on third down, 26th in the NFL, which Roman says to me, if you're the Giants, you got to get that running game going to create third and short.
Yeah, and the spark, if you will, is going to be from Rashard Jennings this week. I mean, Eli Manning, we've heard him lament over the last few weeks about the second and 12s and the second and longs, what that does to the third downs. They were 50% last week. So this week, you know, now at home, no crowd noise issues. They should be able to be manageable on those throws down, and that keeps that other offense off the field.
Yeah, and then there was a little progress, and it was hard to see in the midst of an avalanche, but the offensive line this past week didn't have a lot of setbacks in terms of tackles for loss. I think they may have had one or two, but there weren't a lot of defenders on the Giants' side of the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, and the Giants need to get that running game going because over the last four games, they're averaging just 83 yards per game rushing as opposed to 121 in the first five games. Paul, good stuff as always.
Good to see you guys.
All right, that's Paul Dottino joining us here on the program. We're going to take a timeout when we come back. And Nina March joins us for the Blitz as we continue with Giants First and 10 here on MSG. Welcome back to Giants First and 10 here on MSG, getting you set for the Giants and Niners. Still to come on the program, we'll be joined in studio by Cullen Jenkins. We have our online segment. Andrew Brill of ESPN New York and Tom Rock of Newsday will join us along with Pat Hanlon. We'll look back at the great rivalry between the Giants and Niners and, of course, our Big Blue Challenge. But it is time for this week's edition of The Blitz. Item number 6 goes up on the board. And to moderate The Blitz, we welcome in Anita Marks.
Thank you. Here we go. One of my favorite Giants so far this season. We're talking about Odell Beckham Jr. What a season he's had since he's been suiting up for Big Blue. With at least 100 receiving yards on Sunday, Odell Beckham Jr. can become the first Giants rookie in franchise history with 3 consecutive 100-yard receiving games. Here's your questions. Fill in the blank. Past or present, the player Beckham most reminds you of is, and this player doesn't necessarily have to be a Giants player. 60 seconds on the clock and
discuss. Well, past for me, I would say, and I'm going way back, Charlie Joyner, the old Chargers wide receiver. But current day, he reminds me of Odell Beckham Jr. He's a very unique player. I mean, really, he's got a lot going on that you really can't compare him to anyone given his skill set of today.
I think that he sort of reminds me of Amani Toomer to an extent, you know, a former Giant. But in terms of just in general, I don't know, probably, you know, Jerry Rice early in his career. It sort of reminds me of a guy of that stature.
Wow.
I'm going to go with Steve Smith, formerly of the Carolina Panthers, now the Baltimore Ravens. Odell Beckham Jr. looks like a guy that likes to attack the football like Steve Smith, run after the catch, can return punts, and it looks like he's a guy that doesn't back down from competition, as we saw last week against Richard Sherman.
Yeah, and Richard Sherman complimenting him, right, after the game, saying, hey, listen, you've got a bright future in the NFL. Yeah. Here we go. Question number 2. Since Jim Harbaugh took over in 2011, San Francisco is giving up an NFL best, only 17.1 points per game. Second is Seattle, 17.2, of course, who the Giants faced last week. Here's your question. Which has been a better defense since 2011? San Francisco or Seattle? Another 60 seconds. Harry, why don't you kick us off?
You know, if they were healthy right now, I would say the San Francisco 49ers. But I think that with the injuries that they've sustained, right now, Seattle is probably a better defense than San Francisco.
I'll go with the 49ers over a longer duration of time. I think that period, they've been to 3 conference finals and a Super Bowl.
Yeah, I'm going to go with you. I'm going to say San Francisco. I mean, that NFC Championship game against the Giants in 2000, they were awesome. The Giants just made some more plays in San Francisco. But I would say over this span, that time frame you're referencing, I'll go with the 49ers.
Okay, great. Great job. Thank you.
All right, Anita.
Thank you, Anita.
We'll do it again next week with Anita and the Blitz. Let's take a look at Giants First and 10 program when it comes your way. Each and every week here on the MSG Networks. It debuts every Friday night at 5 p.m. on MSG+. Repeats on Friday night at 11 p.m. This week, Saturday, airing at 10 a.m. on MSG. And then 2 airings on Sunday at 6 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. after Giants Chronicles. We're going to take a timeout. When we come back here on the program, we'll be joined in studio by Giants defensive tackle Cullen Jenkins as we continue with Giants First and 10 here on MSG. Welcome back to Giants First and 10 here on MSG. We get you set for the Giants and Niners on Sunday afternoon at MetLife Stadium. Time to put item number 7 up on the board as we focus in on Giants defensive lineman Cullen Jenkins.
It's two things we got today. Either you gonna be a man or you not. We ain't played good yet this year.
Let's go.
Yet. So either you gonna man up or you not. Either you gonna have pride or you won't. I don't want to hear nobody talking about if they got it or not. I want to see that, and we'll see that today.
Yes, sir.
You know, this will be 11 seasons for me, 12 years since I've been out of college. And, you know, if you don't make it fun, it can become miserable. And I refuse to let this be miserable for me.
Gets hit and sacked. Stanton got pummeled by Jenkins.
Yeah, we're keep it rolling, man. Hey, y'all, we got to get the quarterback down. If we get back there, we got to do our part and get it down.
As Cullen Jenkins tackles him for a one-yard loss.
That's a great read by Cullen Jenkins, too.
You got okay? That's how you treat me, though. I love my teammates.
You know, I try to play with a lot of energy and passion and just keep it fun.
Come on, lines on three. One, two, three.
That's Cullen Jenkins and bringing leadership to the Giants. Number 99 joins us here in studio. And, Cullen, obviously you talked about your time in the league and how long it's been since you've been out of college. Now you have that leadership role. What responsibility do you feel to lead this group?
Well, you know, it's been a little adjustment for me, you know, especially, you know, the route that I took coming into the league, you know, being undrafted. And, you know, I've been used to, you know, the early part of my career, you know, guys took me under their wing and, you know, they led me and they always taught me the right things to do in the right ways. And so now, you know, as I'm getting to, you know, the latter part of my career, you know, I find myself doing the same thing with the younger guys.
So you talk about crossroads, and this is certainly one for this defense. And you've got a young group, and it's going to take, you know, a collective effort to get the defense to play at a level that can stop some folks. What is the message right now you as a veteran are communicating with your defensive line mates?
One of the biggest things that we're doing is, you know, we're just trying to emphasize the fact that everybody needs to, you know, just worry about, you know, doing their job. You know, when things start to go bad, people have a tendency to want to do too much. You know, everybody wants to, you know, personally make, you know, correct the ship, you know, with their play, you know, by trying to force a play, make a play. And sometimes, you know, people will get out of position doing that. And, you know, we're trying to just get everybody to trust in their teammates, you know, trust in everybody. And, you know, that's another thing. We've got to do a better job of playing for each other. You know, when we get on the field, we've got to play like a team. You know, you've got to play like those are your brothers out there. You know, if somebody messes with, you know, one of your family members, they mess with the whole group. And, you know, I feel like, you know, we could have a better attitude like that on the field.
I remember always talking to your brother about the fact that you always play with a lot of leverage. And I remember when you were younger in Green Bay, you know, talk about the defensive tackle position and a lot of the blue-collar work that fans don't see of all the things that happen inside on a play-by-play basis.
Yeah, it you know, it gets brutal down there sometimes. And, you know, especially, you know, with the double teams and, you know, a lot of blocks. People don't realize, you know, D-tackle, everything's fast. You know, everything happens right away. And you've got to make those reads in a split second. And, you know, it could be anything from, you know, a reach block where you have to, you know, almost run laterally down the line of scrimmage, or, you know, if you're getting a double team, you know, you have to play strong into the double team and maybe try to help hold up, you know, one of the offensive linemen and keep them off the linebackers. And, you know, a lot of times, you know, those plays go unnoticed, but, you know, they definitely help the defense.
So share with us just a little bit of the challenges that you guys face against this 49er offense.
Well, it's going to be just like last week. You know, you're dealing with, you know, a dual threat quarterback that, you know, he can beat you with his arm and he can beat you with his legs. And, you know, and they line up in a formation, you know, they can get back and do the read option. You know, he's got a really good running back in Gore. And anytime you have that diversity on an offense, you know, it makes it tougher.
You've been one of the tougher players on the team. You've battled a lot of injuries, and you talk about being now your 11th year. Talk about your first half of your career and when they changed the practice rules in 2011, how you've managed to keep your body in top shape these last 4 years.
You know, early on, you guys know, you know, training camps were brutal.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
you, yeah. Man, if you made it through camp, you know, you were tough. You know, you earned respect out of everybody. And, you know, now it's, you know, you have to be smarter. You have to make sure, you know, you're getting all your work, all your looks in at the same time, where, because you may not get, you know, as many reps. You may not test your body as much out there. And, you know, for me personally, you know, I know, you know, my time in Green Bay and, you know, how I left Green Bay, you know, there were some questions up in the air about, you know, my health. And, you know, we kind of, me and my brother, we were labeled as, you know, being injured home players. And, you know, I didn't like that. And, you know, I took it upon myself to make sure that, you know, I try to do everything in my power to stay healthy, stay on the field. And even if I get dinged up, you know, I'm going to try to play through and I'm going to do whatever I can to stay on the field and help the team.
Colin, we appreciate a couple minutes. Good luck on Sunday. I know you guys are up for the challenge, and hopefully you can get it turned around.
All right, thanks a lot. Thanks for having me.
All right, that's Colin Jenkins joining us here on the program. We're going to take a timeout. We still got a lot more to come, including our online segment. Pat Hanlon joins me for that, along with Tom Rock of Newsday and Andrew Brill of ESPN Radio in New York. All that and much, much more as we continue with Giants First and 10 here on MSG. Welcome back to Giants First and 10 here on MSG Sunday at MetLife Stadium. It's the Giants and San Francisco 49ers. All right, time to put item number 8 up on the board. We call this our online segment. We've got Andrew Brill from ESPN Radio New York, Tom Rock from Newsday, and Senior VP of Communications Pat Hanlon.
Let's get a win, please.
Desperately.
Please.
Well, there's one way to do that, and that would be to maybe stop the run. Which the Giants are going to get tested on Sunday.
That would be nice. You're giving up a ton of yards, over 400 yards on average. These last four games, all losses, over 450 yards. And you look what DeMarco Murray did to the Giants. You look what Marshawn Lynch did to the Giants, running all over the place. And another read option quarterback. So it's obviously Colin Kaepernick you got to stop this week. They have to get this done. They have to get the defense fixed. Right now they're ranked 32nd in the league. That's not Giants football. Giants are predicated on defense.
Tom, let me ask you this. Last year, the Giants were a turnover machine. Teams were starting on the Giants' half of the field every which way but Sunday. They were the 8th-ranked defense in the NFL. They were holding teams in the red zone. They played the top 10 running backs in the NFL last year, and they shut them all down. What happened?
What's wrong? I have no idea. You look at how things changed. The defensive line, you know, it's pretty much the same guys. You know,
Linval, do they miss Linval Joseph?
Linval
that
Joseph.
Much?
I don't think they miss him that much. You know, it seems like you have some pretty good pieces there. They're just not playing together. And guys are still talking about trusting each other and not trying to do too much in this defense and overcompensating and trying to make too big of a plays and abandoning their own responsibilities. And we're in week 11 of the season right now, and it's silly.
You know what that is?
Things.
That's grasping for excuses to explain.
You should be grasping for running backs.
To explain the inexplicable.
Absolutely.
And it's not that complicated, right? And you just said it. And I've said it for the last month. Just do your job. When we asked Jamil McClain, what's the key? Play sound football. That's the key.
That's what they have to do. And they keep talking about trust. Yeah, they keep talking about trusting the guy next to them. How about looking in the mirror? Do your job. Prepare the best you can so that guy doesn't have to worry about you and worry about doing your job.
Here's the other thing. This myth of halftime adjustments. Every series that the offensive and defensive unit come to the sideline, they're making adjustments. You don't play the first half, right, and then go in at halftime and all of a sudden there's this magic answer up on some chalkboard. You're doing it. It's a continuous process. So this notion that, well, the coaches aren't making adjustments or the players – that's all you do during the course of a game when you're not on the field.
And you didn't have an answer on
Sunday. Andrew Roll put it best. He said, look, if you're a football player and you've been playing this game a long time, if you do the fundamentals, you'll be in the right place. If you never watch any film at all, you'll be in the right place.
That's right.
You make good football plays, and you'll be able to make the play
That's
and
right.
stop them.
It's amazing. They've forced 12 fumbles this year. They've only recovered 3.
And I mean that one series. Two
of them. You got on the same drive. The ball's laying there.
Yeah, that was the hinge of the game right there. Because if they pick one of those up and they're able to score, they're right back in it. Instead of a 21-point blowout, you're looking at another game coming down to the wire here in the fourth quarter.
You know, obviously the Giants have some injuries, but I mean Seattle didn't have Cam Chancellor last week. They didn't have Bobby Wagner. They didn't have the Super Bowl MVP Malcolm Smith. San Francisco doesn't have Navarro Bowman. Alden Smith's coming off his suspension. Patrick Willis is out. I mean, everybody's got injuries.
Right.
So what do they try to do here to get this thing fixed on both sides of the ball, running the football?
Right. Well, you got Rashad Jennings coming back, and that seems to be a big boost to the offense. But I think what the problem is that the players that they've lost haven't just been really good players. They've been captains. And when they talk about
heart
and spirit and passion on the sideline, these are the guys who brought it. Victor Cruz, John Beeson, Walter Thurman seemed to be that kind of a guy. Rashad Jennings is that kind of a guy. So when you look at the sideline and it's not responding, it's because they're looking for those types of players, those captain type of players that aren't there anymore. And it's easier to replace a guy in an X's and O's scheme. But when you have to replace him in a hierarchy of team leadership, I think it gets a little more complicated and it's a little harder to do.
All right, when you lose leaders on the field, it's tough.
All right, your prediction for this week?
I think it'll be a close game. You know, these are two, when you look at the offensive stats, very close teams. Both of them scored 195 points. I think it's a low-scoring game, but I think somehow at home the Giants will figure out how to win 17-13.
All right. Yeah, I don't have a lot of faith in the 49ers, actually. I think the Giants can pull this one out. Maybe right the ship, get into December, play some meaningful games.
All right, there you go, Patty.
Give me four quarters.
Four quarters.
Four quarters.
That's all Pat wants. Please. Four quarters. All
we
right.
We got to three last week. Give me four.
That's our online segment. We're going to take a timeout here on the program. When we come back, our Big Blue Challenge, plus a look at the great rivalry between the Giants and Niners as we continue with Giants First and 10 here on MSG after this.
At 60, I could have gone out and stopped Marshawn Lynch. I could have done it. Carl, you feel the same way?
I have feelings.
Let's get a win, please.
Desperate.
Please.
Reestablish that Giants Big Blue tradition that these guys can be proud of.
All right, way to kiss up to them. That was the Geico Show recap, presented by Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance. Visit geico.com. Well, on Sunday, it's the Giants and 49ers at MetLife Stadium. Always fun when the Giants and Niners hook up. Item number 9 goes up on the board as we look back at this great rivalry.
Despite not being an NFC East divisional opponent, San Francisco would become one of New York's most reviled enemies. In the decade of 1981 to 1991, the Giants would play the Niners 5 times in the playoffs, including some extremely memorable regular season meetings.
My hair's standing up on the back of my neck right now because, you know, San Francisco was an Achilles heel. They beat us in 81, they beat us in 84, and, you know, we kind of hated them.
In 1985, the Giants would host a playoff game at home in front of the Big Blue faithful for the first time in 23 years. And they would finally hurdle their West Coast nemesis, beating the 49ers in Giants Stadium.
Sam looks over the middle, he's going end zone. It is complete to the ball.
And in the Giants championship season of 1986, Big Blue would be put to the test in Week 13 on Monday Night Football. Trailing the Niners 17-0, the G-men would mount a legendary comeback fueled by this historic play.
Complete to Bavaro, down to the 35. Still on his feet to the 30. Down to the 25. Down to the 20. He's got four men on his back and gets down to the 17.
Big Blue would once again face the Niners at home in the 1986 NFC Divisional Playoff game.
John Madden predicted them to beat us, so they felt pretty confident they could beat us. There was no way.
Defensive tackle Jim Burke would lay this crushing hit on Joe Montana, and Lawrence Taylor would do the rest, capping off another iconic moment in Giants history and a 49-3 rout of the Niners. As fate would have it, the two teams would meet up once again in the 1990 NFC Championship game. In a tough, smash-mouth battle, both teams would dish out a physical beating. The rivalry would reach its boiling point when former Giant Jim Burt took out quarterback Jeff Hostetler with this controversial hit.
One of our descendants, Jim Burt, laid a shot on Jeff Hostetler. We thought it was a play that was quite questionable. And we huddled as a defense on the sideline and we said, you know what? within the framework of the game, we get a shot at their guy, we're going to do him in.
The Giants would answer the call, and Leonard Marshall would fire a shot heard round the entire football world. A devastating blow to 49ers quarterback Joe Montana that would basically end his playing days in San Francisco.
But chased out, finally hit from behind. The ball's loose.
And he really took a shot in that back. Leonard Marshall coming from the backside. Boy, that is a real shot.
It was as scary a scene as you ever want to see, though. I mean, Montana lay there motionless, but for us, it was just a part of what we do.
Steve Young came in for the 49ers' final drive and needed only two first downs to run out the clock. And with their team desperately needing to get the ball back, the Giants' defense would rise to the occasion.
Hit behind the line of scrimmage, and the Giants have the ball. Lawrence Taylor out of the pack with the ball.
And you knew that the Giants were going for it, and that's what Bill Parcells is saying. Yep, we need it.
Giants are trailing by a point. All depends on Matt Barr. Fans are on their feet and screaming. Snap, spot. Kick is away. It's got the distance. It is good. Good.
And the Giants are going to Tampa Bay. It's over for the Fleet Pigs. It's over.
After a heartbreaking loss to the 49ers in the 2002 playoffs, almost a decade would pass before the two teams faced off again in the postseason, with the rivalry being renewed in the 2011 NFC Championship game. In a tough smash-mouth affair, both teams would fight tooth and nail in a classic showdown that would come right down to the wire.
Hit Manningham on a touchdown late in the fourth quarter. That was big.
Manning back to throw. He zips one to the left of the end zone. Touchdown, Giants! Mario Manningham!
The game was tight throughout, and in overtime, the Giants' special teams would deliver.
Lost the ball, and the Giants say they have it, and they do! Knocked out by Jaquan Williams and recovered by the Giants.
And just like in 2007, Lawrence Tynes would have his moment.
Kick on its way. It's got the distance, and it is good! And Lawrence Tynes has done it again. He's kicked the Giants to the second Super Bowl in 4 years.
Congratulations, Giants, for going to the big one again. Yeah! One, two, three, Giants!
A lot of emotion when the Giants and Niners square off. And, guys, let's talk about it a little bit. You guys, in the playoffs between 1985 and 1990, three playoff games against the Niners. You guys were 3-0, and you outscored them 81-19. That's Montana, Rice, Taylor, Craig.
Young.
That was real Young. Football.
Yeah, that was a rivalry that kind of transcended anything that happened within the division, because you wanted to look forward to that meeting either out there or at home, because that normally determined a Super Bowl appearance. And they were good. They thought they were kind of a different type of tough, and they were. But we had to establish our brand of football on their turf.
Yeah, but they were also guys on those teams that fought for everything that they got. I mean, they didn't take a playoff. They were fighters, and they were committed, and they were committed to one another. And that's the important thing to, you know, come out of what's going on now with this team. You know, the guys who are taking the field on Sunday, they have to be fighters, like those guys like Bavaro and Leonard Marshall, and they have to fight.
You can go back, though, to the recent Giants playoff win there, where Eli Manning took a beat in that game, mm-hmm. but collectively, both sides of the ball and even special teams, nobody gave up. Nobody conceded. Every time their quarterback got hit, Eli got hit, and, oh, it's going to be a tough day. They just fought. That offensive line, they fought, and they got any and everything they could get in that game. And when they needed a play, their quarterback was standing upright to make it.
Yeah, I mean, my only history of the rival here was Monday night against in 98 against the 49ers. Brian Young broke his leg in that game. It was a famous game. And you saw Steve Young towards the end of his career, but the emergence of T.O., where Jerry Rice was starting to get up there in years. But you saw the history of the rivalry. You felt it all week.
All right, Roman, it's time now for this week's edition of Big Blue Challenge. Item number 10 goes up on the board. We got the board out, and we're ready to go. Last week, the question was, where do the Giants have to be successful in order to beat Seattle? And, Harry, we're going to take a look at your results. You said offensive line run blocking and pass protection. So the offensive line did a terrible job in run blocking, decent job in pass protection.
Or at least for a half.
So I'm going to give you 2 points, Harry.
Okay.
I'll give you 2 points. So Harry has moved his season total to 19. And right now, as of this moment, he's in a tie with Carl Banks. Carl, we asked you last week what you thought. And you said run for 90 yards. Pass for 250 yards.
Yeah.
Yay, Eli threw for 283 yards. So with that said, you will get 2 points along with Harry.
Okay, well, technically, in Harry's defense...
Forget about you technically.
In Harry's defense, he wasn't wrong.
What are you, a lawyer?
21. He was not wrong. He said what they would have to do to be successful.
Thought you were in clothing. All right, Roman, you selected run the ball for 125 yards. They dropped my copy. And third downs at 35%. They were actually at 50%.
Yes.
So Roman, these guys,
got a little love.
Everybody got a two.
I was thinking more three, but you know, I'll take two.
Yeah, the year that Derek Jeter retired, deuces are wild. So at 14 points, one of you guys has to make a move.
We're crawling here.
All right. So here's the question for this week, because I'm dropping stuff. Right, get your pens and papers out.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. Which position group? And or player within that position group needs to have a positive impact for the Giants to win this game.
And player?
Well, if you want to throw a play, and or player. Position group and or player from that position group. That could be your extra point. If you nail the guy along with the position group, I could hand out bonus points for you. So that's where we stand right now.
Can I pick out two guys?
With your scoring this year, I would just go with one. All right, you guys got it all set up? Banksy.
Yeah.
There's the chalice.
There you go.
Roman, pop it in.
Boom.
Harry,
boom.
Pop it in. Carl, you maintain the lead. You still have it. All right, we are just about out of time. Make sure you join us each and every week right here on MSG for Giants First and 10. Don't forget, if you come into the game, it's Salute to the Service. The Giants are going to have their annual food drive as well, presented by Stop and Shop to benefit the food hunger banks throughout the state of New Jersey. For Harry Carson, Carl Banks, Roman Oban, and our entire crew, I'm Bob Papa. Thanks for joining us for this edition of Giants First and 10 here on MSG.